morning. Welcome, everyone. Share number 87.
We are in the second paragraph of Vahoyo of Shema, Vahoyim Shemaya. This is the 45th, last night was the 45th day of the Omer. Today was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And the Yontif HaShavuos is approaching. Tonight, we will be discussing a little of the mitzvah of tefillin, and specifically we will be spending time on the mitzvah of mezuzah as an introduction to Shavuos. Towards the end of Shema, we say as follows, V'samtem es devorai eile al levavchem ve'al nafshichem, u'ksharetem oysom l'oys al yedchem, you should place these words of mine, says Hashem. Where should you place them? Upon your hearts, al levavchem, val nafshichem, upon your souls. And what should you do? How should you place them there? By tying them, by binding them. Ukshartem, with what? With the straps, the ritzuas, the tefillin. Ukshartem oisum la'ois, for a sign, al yedchem. There should be a sign for you on your hands, which we know that means the arm. We'll hold there for now. Those of us who have been here for many years will know that Shir number 7 on January 4th, almost 3 years ago, Hey Tevis, Tavshin Samach Vav, we already spoke about Tefillin. We discussed Tefillin. So now that you all know that, because sure we remember it all, we're just going to review one major point of the mitzvah of tefillin, and then go on to the next part of our shir, the mitzvah of mezuzah. And I have with me the chart, because since this is such an important mitzvah, which is performed 6 days a week, we'll just review this quickly. I apologize for those who are listening and cannot see this. We have here first a tefillin shel rosh. Just very briefly, the tefillin shel rosh may not pass the original hairline. This red arrow over here is showing that the roots of the hair come down over here. And this extra part of the hair is not the root, or they are not the roots. That's where the hair is just coming down from. So one cannot have the tefillin even past the roots hanging over here. They have to end. This tefillin has to end where the roots start. Cannot pass it. The knot, the kasher, should be at the bone on the bottom of the skull. As we see, this corresponds to his eyes. It's very important that it's not on a spot where there's no hair. Extremely, extremely important that the tefillin shel rosh, the hair, the head does not pass this hairline. This is the hairline over here. We can't tell his hairline. So what do? We take a big pencil, or any pen you want. Use your hand as well. And you pick it up, and you see. His roots are over here. Here is a situation where it's on the borderline. We don't want to play games with this mitzvah of tefillin. Here we see very clearly that the tefillin are below the hairline. Unfortunately, a person who puts on his tefillin like this, he thinks he's performing the mitzvah. He makes a bracha. He says God's name in vain, and he has no mitzvah to boot. It's very important to make sure his tefillin are behind that hairline. Here we see the roots are over here, and he has the tefillin above the roots. If anyone ever has an issue, please come to me, call me, don't email me because it'll take me a while to respond. Stop by my house, I'll stop by your house, whatever it might be. Now, the tefillin shel yad. I know for those of you who are thinking, shir number 7, you know, I know this already, let's go on, but the tefillin shel yad have to be on the muscle. Okay, that means the bias, this black part right over here, has to be on the muscle, not past this midpoint of the bone, right? And not below where the bicep starts. this part of the tefillah, this yud, this knot, has to always be touching the bias, especially when it's on the arm and even when it's in the bag. It has to be always touching. Once again, if there's ever an issue, if I can help, please let me know. Now, we have in this picture, sometimes it's too common, in this picture we have the ritzua, the strap, is coming below the tefillin. What happens over here is that you have a chatzitza, separation. Chatzitza means separation. Now we have the tefillin, and then which is laying on the strap instead of the arm, which is not good. We want to make sure we get the mitzvah done properly. Now, in this case, we have the tefillin leaning too much down towards the body. So they're hanging down. In other words, they're down over here. Okay? Sometimes we have the opposite. The tefillin are too far out. The tefillin should be on like approximately a 45 degree angle. Now when the person puts his arm down, the tefillin are towards his body. Like this. This is the tefillin, the bais. They're over here. Not over here. And not over here. Okay? All of these situations, when it's not in the right spot, we just don't perform. We're not doing the mitzvah, unfortunately. And this is the picture-perfect scene which we want. The tefillin are exactly smack in the middle of the bicep. Not above and not below. It also cannot be too low. You see how it's above the end of the bicep. It's not below that bicep. There are no straps underneath it. This part of the ritzua, the straps, are not twisted. And when he puts his arm down, as in this picture, his arm is resting down, and the tefillin are towards his heart. Okay, so this is a very quick review of the halachas of the place of the tefillin, the placement of the tefillin. Extremely, extremely important. As we mentioned, a person who puts on the tefillin incorrectly in the wrong spot, he makes the bracha, he performs the bracha, so not only has he said the bracha in vain, for no purpose, he also has not performed the mitzvah of tefillin. And he's going through the whole process of doing it, he might as well already get the mitzvah for it. Hashem wants to give the reward. So let's do the mitzvah. Okay. That was the first part. The first part of our share was just a quick review of these important halachas. And the reason for that, why did we spend some time in this now, if we already discussed and we all know it from share number 7, is because there is a Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, one of the Rishonim, lived around 800 years ago. And he says that the mitzvah of tefillin is of the greatest positive commandments. And of course, the first one of the first questions that can enter a person's mind is that we know Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. The study of Torah, what we're doing tonight, this second, is the greatest mitzvah. How does the Rosh say that the mitzvah of tefillin is the greatest mitzvah? The greatest positive commandment. Let's not answer that right now. Let's continue in the Siddur. V'limadetem o'yisom es b'neichem l'daber bom b'shivdecho v'v'isecho. And you should teach them. Who's them? Your children. This is the mitzvah right here of chinuch. The mitzvah of educating our children is right here in this pasuk. When you sit in your house, and when you travel on the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Now, what should you do? And you should write them on the mezuzos beisecho, on the doorposts of your house. Write what? Write the two portions of the Shema. Write the Torah on the doorposts of your house. The pasuk continues, the Torah continues and tells us, if one performs this mitzvah properly, what will happen? Leman yirbu yemechem, in order that your days be prolonged. Hashem says, I want you to live long life. So do the mitzvah, perform the mitzvah. We all want to give our children, depending how old the children are, whether They're 5, so you want to give them the candy. They want the candy. You want to reward them. But they have to deserve it. You want to spoil the children. Hashem says, perform the mitzvah. L'man yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem, and your children's lives as well will be lengthened as well by performing this mitzvah. The mitzvah mezuzah is not only an independent mitzvah that applies to himself, but it also relates to his children. It gives them longevity. And chas v'shalom, God forbid, if the mitzvah is not dealt with properly, the flip side can take place as well. Is that clear? What the flip side is? Better not mention if you don't have to. Why is the mitzvah mezuzah so important? Why is the mitzvah mezuzah the mitzvah that when sometimes things don't go well, people say to you, well, maybe you should get your mezuzah checked. Maybe it's time. What is it about the mezuzah? And what is the purpose of the mezuzah? Rabbi Wiener was walking in a big apartment building when an African-American lady asked him if he could check her mezuzah. He didn't think he heard correctly, so he asked her to repeat her request. And he heard correctly the first time. Rabbi, can you please check my mezuzahs? So he's quite confused. Why does this lady have a mezuzah? So she explained that she has Jewish friends, and they told her that it's a school, it's a good omen to have a mezuzah. And they gave her a mezuzah. So he, interesting situation, he goes ahead and he unscrews the screws from the mezuzah case. He opens up the case. There's nothing inside. He says to the lady, Did you have something inside when you bought it? When they gave it to you? To which she responded, yes, I did, but I couldn't read the instructions, so I threw them out. Now, unfortunately, there are many times when we perform our mitzvahs in the same fashion. We don't internalize the mitzvah. The story is repeated in the Yerushalmi, other places as well, with Rav, who received the great Amoira from the Gemara, who received a gift from a king, and in response for this gift, in return, he sent him a mezuzah. On the side point, which is not tonight's share, is a whole question about giving a non-Jew a mezuzah. As we just saw, they might mistreat it. So he mails him a mezuzah, to which the king is confused, annoyed. I send you a precious stone, you send me a piece of paper? What kind of repayment is this? I'm not looking for something. What are you doing here? Rav sends back the letter. He says to the king, you sent me an item that has a price to it. It's very precious, but it has a price to it. You send me an item that I have to guard from thieves. I sent you an item that's priceless and that guards you. That is the mezuzah. In order to understand this mitzvah mezuzah, we have to understand the word mezuzah. And we'll start with the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh brings the Zohar HaKadosh that says, mezuzah, if you take those letters and you rearrange them, is zoz moves. Zoz means to move. Moves is death. Zaz maves, death will be removed away from this house. The mezuzah placed in the right spot. Just like tefillin has to be in the right spot, mezuzah has to be in the right spot. The mezuzah placed in the right spot, zaz maves, death will be taken away from here. Let's go on to a deeper understanding of the word mezuzah. The Rekeach, one of the Rishonim, a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, the Sefer Chassidim, lived around 700-800 years ago. He explained the concept that when we have the letter Mem in front of the word, Mishkan, Mizbeach, Mikdosh, It means the place of. For example, Mishkan is the Makom HaShchina, the place of God's presence. Shchina is God's presence. So Mishkan means the place of God's presence. Mizbeach, Makom Zvicha. Zvicha means to slaughter, to shecht. So it's the place, the Mizbeach, the altar, is the place of the Zvicha, where we do the slaughtering. Mikdash is the Makom, the place of the Kedusha, where it's their sanctity rests. Mezuzah, Makom Ziza. What does that mean? Makom Ziza, Mezuzah, we said, is to move. Ziza means to move, the place of movement. Once again, what does that mean? Don't leave yet, because it won't make sense. The Ramban, Nachmanides, which we mentioned last week's class as well, we mentioned at the end of Parshas Bo, a very famous Ramban. We'll refer back to that Ramban, a different point of it, where he tells us that a person who acquires a mezuzah with a zuz. A zuz is what is in Aramaic is a money, with money. With a zuz. Zuz means money, kesef, geld, dollars, cash. And he attaches it to his door. He is moideh, he admits to chiddush ha'olam, to the fact that God is in charge of the world. And the fact that God is running the world every single second. A person buys a mezuzah with a zuz. Once again, we're explaining the word mezuzah now. He has now admitted to the fact that there is a creator to the world, and the creator is in charge. The Medrash tells us, ask the question, why is it called a zuz? Why is it called a zuz? Why is this money called a zuz? Because as we all know, money goes from hand to hand. Just because you write your name on the money, the Gemara tells us, and you lose it, and someone picks it up, it's not yours. Because you went to the store, you bought something, and then someone else got changed, and then your name was on that money. It's illegal anyway to do that, but that's not the point. And then, all of a sudden, it gets lost, someone picks up, finds the name, it's not your money. Money goes from hand to hand. Mezuzah goes around. We're going to now learn inside a Rambam. We will learn together the words of the Rambam. And we will understand why the mezuzah is so important. We see by the arrow, this is in Hilchos Mezuzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Gimel. And the Rambam says as follows, Chayiv Adam Lihizar B'Mezuzah. A person is obligated to be very careful with the mitzvah of Mezuzah. Mibnei Shihi Chayivas HaKol, Tomid. Because this mitzvah is an obligation to all, constantly. Right now, we are sitting here in this room. But we, who have put a mezuzah on our doorpost, by our house, are receiving reward for that mitzvah right now. Very few mitzvahs can be said in such a regard. Tefillin is when you wear the mitzvah tefillin. But right now, we are sitting here, and the mitzvah of tefillin, mitzvah mezuzah, is accumulating points for us. V'chol eis sheikonis v'yetze, at every given moment, the person comes in and out of his house. Yifka b'yichud shemoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens is, he is passing by the yichud shemoy because the parash of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that God is one. That's the parash which is in Shema, which is in the mezuzah. V'yizkar ahavosai. One should remember the love of Hashem. Like we said, what does Hashem do for us? Our health, our fingers, our life, everything. We're breathing right now. Appreciate the life we have from Hashem, the love of Hashem. V'ye'ar mishnosoi, and we should awake from our slumber. V'shkiyosoi, b'havli hazman. We should awake from our mundane life that we live in the havli hazman, in the vanities of time. V'yeda, and we should know, sh'ein sham davar, shem davar, ha'oimid lo'olam ul'olmei olamim. There's nothing that stands forever. Ela yediyas sur ha'olam. Except for the fact, the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, yediyas sur ha'olamim? The knowledge of Hashem? What does that mean? That means limud ha'Torah. Learning God's instruction booklet. Learning the Torah. That's what it means, yediyas sur ha'olamim. Umiyad, hu chayzeh l'dayitoy v'hoylech b'darchei meisharim. When man passes by the mezuzah, and he puts his hand on the mezuzah, and he kisses the mezuzah, and he thinks in his mind, I love you Hashem, as Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal says. When a person passes by the mezuzah, what should he be saying? What should he be thinking? He should be thinking in his mind, I love you Hashem. Thank you Hashem. He says as well, Rav Miller, that a person should look at that mezuzah and realize that that mezuzah is like a video camera, watching here, watching us at all times. Because the mezuzah, the point of the mezuzah is to remind us that Hashem is in charge every single second of the world. So when he has that reminder, just like tefillin is the reminder, just like tzitzis and mitzvah Hashem agetu is the reminder as well, the constant reminder. So what will happen is, he won't come to sin. And that's the Rama continues and says, Amru Chachamim, Kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin b'roishoy, whoever has tefillin on his head, Uvizroyoy, and on his arm. Bit sitsis bebigdoy, and he's wearing sitsis on his garment. Umezuzo bepischoy, and he has a mezuzah on his pesach, on the entrance of his house, on all the doors. Muchzogloy shalayechta, he's assured that he will not come to sin. The Gemar Menachos, this is a quote, the Rambam is quoting the Gemar Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. That when man performs these mitzvahs properly, there he is assured by Hashem. He is promised he won't come to sin. Why not? Why won't he come to sin? Well, we all know when we drive down the highway, and when we're driving down Montgomery over here, and we see actually there's new police cars with those the sirens going, so what's the first thing we do? Our eyes drop a second, and we look how fast we're going. That's the first thing we all do. Why is that? Why didn't we do it a second earlier before we saw those lights? We all know. We don't want a ticket. We don't believe we're doing something not safe. We're all driving safely, of course. But we don't want a ticket from the cop. So immediately we slow down. It's the same thing over here. The tefillin, the mezuzah, the tzitzis. They're the constant reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's watching us. He's with us. So a person has that reminder with him at all times. He won't come to sin. My boss is in front of me. How could I come late? My boss is in front of me. How could I be lazy? My boss is in front of me. How could I not go the speed limit? My boss is in front of me. How could I speak Lashon Hara? And so on and so forth. This is the mindset, the mezuzah. Now let's return to the Rekeach. We said mezuzah is the makom ziza, the place of what? Of movement. If we focus on the message of the mezuzah, then we gain a tremendous lesson. Because makom ziza, the place of movement, is coming to tell us that we are here in this world today, and who knows, hopefully tomorrow. But that is not netzach netzachim, that is not everlasting. The message of the mezuzah, makom ziza, is that this place, this world, is moving. It's not here forever. Olam haba, the world to come, that is netzach nesachim, that is everlasting. If we focus and concentrate on the vanities of this world, like the Rambam told us, he should wake up mishnosoi from his slumber, from his sleep, v'shkiyosoi beheveli hazman, from the vanities of time that he wastes chasing after the materialistic aspects of this world, then he didn't internalize the message of the mezuzah. But if he internalizes the message of the mezuzah, the ziza, that we are here, we're moving, things are just moving, and we should make sure to acquire what? Acquire that which we'll take with us to the next world. Put into our savings account for Olam Haba. That is a major message of the mezuzah. That this world is a fleeting moment. It is a proizdor, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us. It is a hallway to the world to come. No one wants to spend the whole time in the hallway. We want to accomplish. We don't want to waste our times. We don't want to waste our life. That's one major message of the mezuzah, the makom ziza, that things are moving along. And not to spend time and focus on the materialistic aspects of this world, but on the spiritual aspects of this world. To be kaveya it. Set yourself, kaveya it on the wall, on the door. And take the lesson inside to internalize, like the question we asked in the beginning. Why does the Rosh say, how does the Rosh say that the mitzvah of tefillin is of the greatest mitzvah of positive commandments? And the reason for that is the same reason for this mitzvah of mezuzah as well. Because the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah is l'man tiyah Torah Hashem beficha. Is an order that what? Torah Hashem, the word of God, should be in your mouth. It's to remind us constantly to come to learn the Torah. So it doesn't mean the Rosh when he says that tefillin is the greatest mitzvah. But as I answered Matisel Salomon, the Mashkiach in Lakewood, he said that the purpose of the tefillin, one main purpose of the tefillin is to give us that impetus to go learn. And we're saying the same thing with the mitzvah of the mezuzah as well. That the mezuzah is there here to give us the mitzvah, the impetus to learn. Let's go back a few years. 1986. There's a boy and girl. Ten months apart. Brother and sister. One had pneumonia for weeks. One had, maybe not pronounced correctly, Kawasaki disease.
Kawasaki
disease. The sister had Kawasaki disease. The brother had pneumonia. They went to the doctor. Kawasaki disease is, the doctor will confirm with me here, is a disease basically that they get fever. They don't know what causes it really. Correct? And they didn't really know how to help this young girl. She was around 6 years old. Someone suggested to the family, check the mezuzahs. To which the father said, we just did a few months ago. Not too long ago, we just checked the mezuzahs. The brother and sister, one pneumonia, little children, one Kawasaki disease. The father said, okay, we'll check it again. They took down the mezuzahs again. They checked the mezuzahs. One mezuzah, when they checked it, and they put it back upside down. That mezuzah was right near a picture of the little girl and the little boy. They put it back in the right way, and they went back to the doctor the next day. Everyone was fine. They were better. I know the person. He told me the story. He was a little boy. I know the person firsthand. There's another story. Another story when a person was very ill and his condition was getting worse and worse. Very fast. The doctors didn't understand why his situation should go from bad to worse in such a quick time. And once again, they went to check their mezuzahs. And the mezuzah said, Va'avadatem mehera mehera. The pasuk says by us, Va'avadatem mehera me'al haaretz ha'toiva. If a person goes astray in our parasha right here in front of us, you will perish swiftly. But there was an extra word. It said, fast, fast. The doctors didn't understand why he was going from bad to worse so fast. They checked the mezuzah, they replaced it immediately, and his condition got better. And Baruch Hashem, he recovered. Let's look at another sefer. The Sefer HaCharedim, which we'll pass out, and we'll read that inside as well. The Charedim lived in the times, the generation of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. He is one of the Chachmei Tzfas, and he says on the top by the arrow, he says as follows, what is the understanding for the mitzvah mezuzah? Likvoy mezuzah, to attach the mezuzah, shenemar, as it says, as we're learning in our parsha, uchsavtem al mezuzah is beisachol v'isherech, and you should, uchsavtem, you should write them on mezuzah is beisachol v'isherech, the doorposts of your house and your gates, targumoy, what does that mean? V'tikvi inun, you should set them there. Now listen to this. Yosim Adam Yodoy al mezuzah, man should place his hand on the mezuzah, tamid, constantly. Kishenichnos lebayis, when he comes into the house. Uchshe yoytse, and when he comes out. And what should he remember? The yizkor, ki hu yizbarach baal habayis. Who owns the house? Even if he paid up the mortgage, who owns the house? Ki hu yisborach baal habayis. Hashem owned the house. Who's in charge of everything? Hashem is in charge. Listen to the next words. Va'adam, and the man who pays the bills. Ubanov, and the children. Ve'ishtoy, and his wife. Ve'chol asher loy, and everything that's in that house. Orchin. They're just guests. That is the mindset. We are just guests in Hashem's house. V'chol nechosav shaloi, and all of nechosim, all of the nice sofa and the pictures and the table and the chairs and the bookcases, everything. Shaloi, it's Hashem's. V'hu ashoimer oisoi, b'bayis uvesode. And he, Hashem, is the one who is shoimer oisoi. He guards it. In the bayis, in the soda, in the house, in the field. Hashem guards everything. It's Hashem's. Hashem guards it all. Al yidei kach neshevas loy mitzvah mezuzah kol yoyim lefonav yizbarach kimitzah sitzes atfilin. And that's why, continues the Chasei B'Charedim, that this mitzvah of mezuzah is similar to the mitzvah tzitzis and tefillin. Then when he leaves the house and he comes in the morning, he internalizes that Hashem is in charge. That's Hashem's house. Not that arrogant mindset the person might, God forbid, have. This is my house. This is my house. How could you do something to me? How could you wrong me? How could you park in front of my house? Whatever it might be. But the mindset should be, no, it's Hashem's house. And we are just guests in Hashem's house. It humbles the person. The Gemara in the Darim, Daf Nun Hei Yomar Aleph, tells us as follows, Mulbeis, that a person who wants to acquire Torah, Shavuos, the Yontif of Shavuos, when we reconnect to Hashem, is approaching in a few days, Mirtz Hashem. A person has to be an Anav. He has to be humble. If he's an arrogant person, they won't work. He can't acquire the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man that ever lived, the Torah tells us, was Anav Mikol Adam. Was the most humble of all men. He knew how great he was. But he realized he was still nothing. He was the most humble of all men, and he acquired the most Torah knowledge of all men that ever lived. While we have this paper in front of us, let's go down to the parish, the Be'er Yehuda, where the arrow is pointed to the Dalet. And we're reading a quote from the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in Or Chaim Simon Chafei, and he says as follows, in regards to tefillin and mezuzah, he says as follows, the tefillin shebaroish, ha'odam mishabed lebori yizbarach ha'neshama, shu b'moyach. But the tefillin shebaroish, when a person puts on the tefillin which belong on his head, he is subjugating his soul to God. Because the neshama rests in the brain, in the mayach. The soul rests in the mayach, in the brain. What takes place when he is putting on tefillin shel yad? With tefillin shebezroya on the arm, all the mishabed gufoy, man is subjugating his body to God. I'm here to serve you with my neshama. I'm here to serve you with my body. What's left? Ube mezuzah, Mishabed Odom Mamoinoi. Man is subjugating his money to Hashem. What does the Torah dictate me to do with my money?
Give
Maaser, that's correct. Use my money for mitzvahs. Of course, to buy a car, we have to drive, we have to get places. But the purpose of the money is for Hashem. Why? As we said, ki hu yisparach ba'al habayis, because Hashem is the ba'al habayis. Hashem is in charge. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah relates the story with Unkulus Ager. Some say it was someone else, some say it was Unkulus, the nephew of Titus, the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And he converted to Judaism. Now we can understand that the Romans didn't appreciate this so much. The higher ups over there, the Caesar, he sent a group of thugs to go bring him back. What happened was they got into a conversation. Unculus did a very good job, and they are Megayer as well. They converted. Imagine that. I don't think these people were like these sweet little people either. I'm sure they came armed to do the job of the Caesar. They converted. Okay. Strike one. The Caesar sends another group. Don't get into conversations with him this time. Unculus gets into conversation with him though. And Unculus says to them, we'll discuss mundane issues. We'll get into Torah discussions. And he discusses if you're a soldier, a private. So the private carries the torch for the higher up, sergeant, so on and so forth, all the way up to the general. The subordinate carries the torch for the one who's in charge on the higher level, all the way up the ladder. Unculus asked the question, but does the king carry the torch for those who are below him? Which, of course, they replied. They figured they could respond to this one. No, of course not. The king's to hold the torch to show the way for someone who's below him? Of course not. Ah, not so by Hashem. Hashem, the God of the Jews, he carries the torch for those who are below him. And he cites the pasuk in Beshalach, when Hashem sent Anani Kavoid, the clouds of glory, and lit the way for Bnei Yisrael, for the children, for us, as we left Mitzrayim. They converted. Strike two. He sends another group. Don't talk to him. Don't listen. Just bring him back. On the way out, Unculus puts his hand by the mezuzah. And he asks them, what's this? And they say, we don't know. You tell us. And he said, but the kings of the world, the king sits back in his palace while his soldiers go out to the front. But the king of the Jews is not like that. He is on the outside, and he protects us from the inside. Strike three. The Caesar did not send any more Roman soldiers to bring back Onkelos. The power of the mitzvah of the mezuzah. A secular Israeli many years ago was looking at some pictures. He found a very pious looking man, long beard, asked his mother, who is this person? To which his mother responded, this was your grandfather. He was in the labor camps during the war. And his mother related a story that happened to him. He was taken out in front of all of the other people in the camp. And the Nazi soldier put a piece of pork in front of him, pulled out his pistol, and told him, you see that dust? Look in that direction. That's the Russians. In a few hours they'll be here. You eat that pork, you'll be alive to be liberated. If not, I'll shoot you right here on the spot. Everybody's watching. He didn't eat treif, he didn't eat not kosher his whole entire time in the camps, and he said he's not doing it now. The Nazi put the gun to his temple, and he pulled the trigger. This is your grandfather, said his mother to the son. The Israeli came to America, made it big. The American dream, made a lot of money. Moved back to Israel. Lived in a nice suburban neighborhood over there. Secular life. And his wife asked him to go pick up some supper one night. So he was waiting in line. And a flashback came to him. Years earlier. That conversation he had with his mother. Who that picture was. How his grandfather was killed for what he's waiting on line for. His grandfather was shot in the head. And he's waiting on line to buy that pork. He said, one of us have to be crazy. He got off the line. Started to attend some Arachim seminars, Kirov program in Eretz Yisrael in Israel. And today, he is responsible for making Arachim what it is today, because he came back to his grandfather's way of life. To some, it's a sign, the sign is the grandfather's picture. Hashem is giving us a sign. The mezuzah. Uchsavtem ha-mezuzah is beisecha, says the Pasuk in Shema. The purpose of the mezuzah, the purpose of the tefillin, is to remind us, to be a sign for us. Ledaber bom, to speak them. What's them? We mentioned last week. Bom, the beis and the mem. The beis is the first letter of the Torah Shebichsav, the first letter of the written law, of the written Torah. Bereishis. The mem is the first letter of the oral law. Me'ei Masai, from the Gemara and Brachas. Ledaber bom, to speak them, learn the words of the Torah, says Hashem. The message of Shema, the message specifically of the mezuzah, of the tefillin, is to learn the words of God. Thank you.